This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Callum McSwiggan, Callum McSwiggan on FUBAR Radio.
Walking along, everything's good and I haven't felt this in so long. I get on the phone, my friends tell me they saw you dancing last night at a burner. I might be alright, but I know you're dancing with somebody else to our song. Beginning to cry, that I'm not the one and your arms just feel so wrong. All it takes is a spark to light this flame. Lose my breath, my body starts to shake.
It's Johanna James with FUBAR Radio, and Durex have invited us down today to explore the magical uses of lube. I'm joined by Hannah and Jadira. What else could we use lube for?
I use lube for putting in my menstrual cup.
Got this little life hack makeup tip. Lube was the best thing to stick glitter on your eye makeup.
No way.
I'm going to do a disclosure now. Don't do any of these. Toothpaste.
No.
Gosh.
I don't toothpaste. Think
it's... Well, what flavoured lube? I don't know if this is on your list, but I, in the summertime, get serious chafing. Maybe I could just use lube instead.
Perfectly, that's exactly what it's for.
For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Callum McSwiggan on FUBAR Radio. Hello and welcome back to the Callum McSwiggan Show. Today I am joined by the amazing trans activist and author. It's Miss Charlie Craggs. How are you doing?
Hey Callum. I'm a bit out of breath. Sorry, just ran here. I was running late.
I thought I'd get you know get a bit of the cardio going before
just
you got
a bit,
here.
But me, I literally haven't ran since year 9 PE, so I'm really suffering.
I was not good in PE. It was my worst subject.
I didn't do PE. I like had an ingrown toenail for like 5 years.
Obviously, really?
I no.
Oh, that was like
it's like the LGBT excuse.
Yeah. In my final year of school, I managed to skip PE a lot as well. I would always just be busy or prior engaged when it rolled around.
Oh my god, I love it.
So let's talk about you
and
let's talk about the amazing things you do. So I think I want to start out by talking about lobsters. Now, that's going to probably sound a little bit strange to anyone listening.
Even to me.
Tell me about lobsters.
Okay, I'll tell you about lobsters. Okay, so, hi guys, I'm Charlie, and to give it a context, I am probably best known for my campaign Nail Transphobia, where I travel around the UK with a pop-up nail salon, and I offer the public free manicures for the chance to sit down and have a chat with a trans person. I feel like I'm not saying my words right because I'm so exhausted. I just heard that back. But yeah, so basically, it's just a kind of a bid to humanise the issue and give people a chance to sit down and have a chat with a trans person, because most people haven't met one. And that's kind of, in my opinion, where transphobia comes from, because they just don't understand it.
Yeah.
So then from that, I've just recently set up a nail brand called Nail It. It's Nail It Official on Instagram. And so I've come up with thematic decals, like so nail stickers, and they all kind of, like I said, are thematic around different trans issues, and they raise both awareness and funds for specific issues. So the first are the lobster decals, and they basically are, so basically, you know emojis.
I know emojis, yeah.
You know
I'm
emojis.
Familiar.
Okay, so emojis, the trans flag emoji is the most requested emoji every single year for I think the last 3 years, and yet Unicode, who are the ones who choose the emojis, have ignored that every year. So there's petitions every year, there's because you've got to sign proposals, and they're really in depth and really hard to do, but every year that's ignored, and they do silly things like soup cans and toboggans and
there's really bizarre ones, isn't
ones
there?
That no one will ever use.
Yeah.
Like, there's a website for most useless emoji of the day, and like some of them I'm like, I didn't even know that was an emoji, like stupid things, like I said, like toboggans and soup cans. But yeah, a flag for a community that's a really substantial size community,
really
as well, like we're
yeah.
bigger than some countries that have flags on there. We're just ignored, and it's the fact that I didn't have a problem with the fact that we don't have a flag, but I had a problem with the fact that they know it's the most requested every single year and they still ignore it. So I hijacked the lobster emoji, because they've just sprang out a lobster emoji on the new update, and I said, well, if you're not going to give us a trans symbol, I'm going to hijack the lobster as our trans symbol, because lobsters, as you might know, are like gynandromorphic, so they can be both male and female, they have both characteristics. And so yeah, I was like, we're going to make this our trans symbol, so I'm encouraging LGBT people to post the lobster. And
I love it, I think it's so clever.
Thank you so much.
And I'm glad you clarified, because I'm sure for 2 solid minutes there people were listening and going, I don't understand.
And also,
what this has to do with
also lobsters. Like, having had just run for 2 minutes, sat down on this mic, and then had to give you an elevator pitch of my whole campaign, I'm so proud of myself right
it's
now. I feel
challenge.
Like I'm on The Apprentice.
You did well. I'm
yes.
very, very
oh
impressed.
Oh my god, my neck is so sweaty. I love it.
Let's jump back a step.
Yes.
And let's talk more about your nails, because this is something that you started at university, right?
Yeah, so it's my final project. I went to London College of Fashion, as most of the gays and trans do. And yeah, for my final project, I was doing art direction for my degree, and I wanted to kind of apply some art direction to the third sector and show how maybe like charities and kind of activism could be a bit more effective if it was a bit more innovative, and like how using something like nails as a medium would be a bit more engaging and a bit more 21st century than just standing outside of like a bucket and a Dayglo vest asking for money. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can
absolutely
so like nails are the perfect medium, because like
everyone needs their nails done.
Yeah.
I do. I mean, look at mine. They're
I'll
really ratchet.
Anytime. Anytime, Callum.
Do it now. Start the show.
Yeah. I have no varnish in my bag if you want them done now. But so I was like, do you know what? If I sit there at my pop-up events with a table full of brochures about transphobia, and I start talking about, shouting about how every 29 hours a trans person is murdered, no one will listen. If you offer a manicure, there's a queue.
Yeah.
And like
you
have the same chance to talk to people about those issues. But now I've got, like, do you know what I mean? For me, the nails are just a catalyst for conversation. And it's
absolutely
a way of engaging people in the conversation around trans rights who wouldn't normally be engaged. Because most people, you don't care about issues that don't really affect you. It's just the way it is. Let's be real.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
no,
you
absolutely.
You can care a little bit, but you're not caring to the point where you're, like, an ally. Like unless an active kind of journey to become an ally. It's not just like, so unless you're really like maybe got a friend affected by it or a partner or a child or a parent, you're probably not going to care that much. So my kind of campaign is all about kind of being people's trans best friend to kind of make it a bit more human for people.
I think it's really interesting point you said about most people haven't knowingly met a trans person.
Course,
you know, I
yeah.
feel like most people probably have met a trans person.
Oh yeah, you probably sat next to someone on the tube
and had no
in
idea.
The toilets. Because that's the thing, you know, with this toilet thing now, it's like trans people shouldn't be using toilet, the it's, women's,
and we're, they have we've the whole
been
time.
The whole time, the whole time. Centuries, because we've been around since the ancient Egyptian times, before that even. I'm not very good at history, but we've been around since like the days. There's like Greek statues of trans bodies, because yeah. the third gender is a real thing.
Yeah, it's
like
absolutely.
It's a scientific thing. Like there's nuances of gender, and yeah, and we've been around forever, so we've been using those toilets with you the whole time, baby. So you just didn't know because we're so pretty.
I have a lot of friends, like really close friends, who are kind of outside of the LGBT plus community.
Yes.
And I've had a conversation recently where one of my closest friends in the world told me, just like, oh, I don't know any trans people. I've never met a knowingly met a trans person.
Yeah.
It just like blew my mind, because I think I'm wrapped up in this community
yeah.
so much that,
yeah.
you know, I'm meeting trans people every day. But I think, and you know, just getting somebody to sit down and be like, I'm going to do your nails. I'm a trans person. I don't want to say normalize. It's
yeah, I'd say
human,
humanizes.
Humanizes.
Because normal is a dirty word. Like, who is normal? Why should we all want to have to be normal to be accepted or not killed? But like, human is the word, I think. Because when you're holding hands, essentially, while I'm doing your nails, like with a trans person, having not met a trans person before, it's hard not to feel someone's humanity when they're looking at you in the eyes, having a chat, maybe talking about deep shit, like how the abuse I might face. Because I let them lead the conversation, ask me what they want. But yeah, how can you not feel my humanity? How can you still go away and not like trans people? And I've been doing it for 5 years, so clearly it's working.
That's amazing. Let's also talk about your book, which I know you released a couple of years ago now.
Yeah, it's just over a year, actually.
Just so over just a year. I'm lying, telling lies again.
I wish it was a couple of years ago. That would make me a lot more successful than I am.
But you got 45? Was it 45?
Oh, no, it's double that. It's like, I think it's like 85.
Right, Callum, do your research.
I tried to get to 100.
Jesus Christ.
Actually, well, maybe that's where you got it from, because I was aiming for about 50.
Right.
And I was like, I'm probably going to get like 20. Like, because I was like, I was this nobody at the time. Like, who's going to want to contribute to my book? But like, I got like almost 100, and I was like, fuck
that's
me.
That's
amazing. Because like, I was literally out thinking, I'd be happy if I got like 10, 20 good letters from these kind of famous trans women. But yeah, I got almost 100.
So, and it was letters from trans people. Was it all trans women?
So, yeah, so it's called To My Trans Sisters. So it's a book of about 100, almost 100 letters from trailblazing trans women. I don't like using the word famous because it's a bit of a dirty word, but like trailblazing,
yeah,
so like the
yeah,
first
yeah.
in their field of like spearheading the kind of their field, offering advice to girls who are either going through or have been through or on going through transition or whatever. Just kind of like a book of sisterhood, because like you said, with your friend who hadn't met a trans person, trans people haven't met trans people before they transition.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I had never met a trans person until I transitioned. So like, it's often really hard to transition because you haven't got like this big sister or brother figure to kind of guide you through it and be like, baby, this is how we do this, this is how we do this. Like, even like silly things from like covering like a beard and how to make a wig look good to deeper shit, like how to deal with your family rejecting you or how to deal with transphobia every day in the street, like the reality of being trans. Like, I wanted a book for like the next generation girls who wouldn't have to suffer the way I did and the generations before me did, where we didn't have anyone to ask these questions. So it's like a book of all different women, from politicians to scientists to celebrities, kind of all different places in the world, all different religions, colours, sexualities, gender expressions, just like offering different advice. And it's just, yeah, really, I'm really proud of it.
It sounds incredible, and I want to read it, you know.
I'll really want to read one.
But also, like, what an incredible resource that is so needed.
It's the book I wish I had. So like, when I got the book deal, they were like, you can do what you want, and I was like, I'm gonna make the book I wish I had. And like, so when I'm bigging it up, I'm not bigging myself up, because it's a book of other people's voices. It's not my voice. So when I'm being big-headed, it's not me being cocky. It's literally just saying, it's a fucking shit-hot book. Like, it's so important for the community. And, like, I get emails every day from girls saying it, like, changed their life, saved their life sometimes. So I'm really, really proud of, not of... of my, because it's not like
you're
I
allowed
my
to
work.
Take some credit
no,
though.
I will take credit like, when it's due. No, transphobia is amazing. I'll take all the credit for that. But this book is not about me. When I'm bigging up, it's not me being ahead. It is an amazing book of voices from women who are so much more amazing than me. So that's why I'm so cocky about it.
I need to get myself a copy.
I'll
of this
send
book.
You a copy for real.
Right,
babes.
You're gonna get me a book. You're gonna do my nails.
I mean,
I'm
now
set.
We're pushing it. This is like exploitative almost.
and let's talk about your nails a little bit more as well.
Okay.
So tell me about the lobster. How does that work?
Oh yeah. So
on my nails.
Yeah, so I sell nail decals. So they're like nail stickers. So I design them and make them and send them out and stuff. And yeah, so I just thought the nails, like I said, are such a good catalyst for conversation. So if you're walking around with lobsters on your nails, someone is bound to ask you, why do you have lobsters on your nails? And it's the perfect perfect time then to segue into, well, actually, you blah, 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 and then give the whole, like, trans thing. And, like, now you're bringing up, again, like, you're, like, hacking conversation by, like, bringing trans stuff in. Because I, like, don't like to shove things down people's throats. I don't like to be, like, shouting and, like, da-da-da. But if you're able to do it in clever ways, like I say, through my nail pop-ups where I'm just doing people's nails and talking about it, or through your own nails and talking about it, it's so much more clever and so much less aggressive. And I think people react to that a bit better.
And I think you've hit on the really perfect note of kind of making it an interesting conversation.
Yeah,
because if I'm sat here with lobsters on my nails, and one of my friends is going to go, why lobsters?
And then
suddenly, number one, you have that interesting fact about lobsters. What is it they have?
Gynandromorphic?
I can't say that word. That's hard.
I know you can say that word. Why are you lying? If I, a fashion graduate, can say gynandromorphic, you can say it.
It's an incredible way to start
the
conversation.
Thank you so much, Callum.
I'm just in awe of everything you're doing.
I'm in awe of your pecs. I'm sorry, I've been staring at your pecs this whole time. You have, like, the best pecs.
Thank you
have bigger
so much.
Pecs than I have boobs.
It's a very tight t-shirt.
Yeah, I can see.
just for you.
Thanks, Callum.
Well, speaking of my pecs, we're going to be playing some fun sex-related games very shortly.
I love sexual games.
but before we do that, let's have a little bit of music. This is Temporary Love by Ben Platt.
You're afraid to need someone, 'cause you've been burned, you've been burned, you've been burned. Love is good until it's gone. That's what you learned, what you've learned, what you've learned. You don't have to hide your love away. I know that I'm gonna make mistakes, but leaning on somebody isn't easy. I'll do what I can to make you see that this is not a temporary love. This is not a temporary love. Now your heart is in my hands. I won't give up. This is not a temporary love. You may not think I know the difference, but I do. Make mistakes, 'cause leaning on somebody's never easy. But look at me and tell me you don't see that this is not a temporary love. No, this is not a temporary love. Now your heart is in my hands. I won't give it up. This is not a temporary.
Well, Charlie, I think you've got everyone here at FUBAR wanting to get their lobsters on their nails now.
Yes.
So congratulations on that. speaking of lobsters, We're going to play a game now.
Oh, God.
This game is porn or not porn.
Oh, I should be an expert at this.
And in this game, you have to figure out whether sound clips are from porn or from not porn.
Oh, my God.
And since you're doing this whole amazing lobster movement, we thought we would have a lobster theme this week.
Is there lobster porn? I don't even want to know.
No, so the sound clips are either from porn or they're taken from something to do with the ocean or, like, underwater creatures.
Ooh.
And we together are going to have to figure this out. So I don't have the answers in front of me. We are a team in this.
Okay.
Do you know a lot about porn? Do you know a lot about lobsters and sea creatures?
Not lobster porn, but maybe like a bit about both separately.
I really hope there isn't any lobster porn happening.
I feel like there is. I bet someone's in like cosplay or something of lobster.
I've seen octopus porn, like with an actual octopus.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
And I'm sure that's not legal. Not a pleasant experience.
Oh my God.
To watch it. I can not imagine even experiencing it. Should we dive right into the game?
Let's do it. Let's get over with.
Our first sound clip is...
Ah! No, that's not porn.
Why?
It's someone being like bitten by like an animal.
But that doesn't sound real. Listen.
Ah!
That sounds fake. No? Do you think that's a genuine cry of pain?
It's like a stupid straight man cry of pain. So, yeah.
Like when they're like playing football and they fall over.
Yeah, it's very that. Or like when a man has a cold, it's not really that bad. But they like make it sound so bad. That's why it sounds fake, I think.
So do you think this is like a movie or something? This is like a bad actor getting bitten by a shark?
I think
maybe
it's
not
real.
Shock.
I think it's like a YouTube, like a clip someone took on their phone of like a crab biting someone's finger or something.
Oh, that would make sense. Yeah, let's hear it again.
Ah!
Yeah, I see
you
that.
Can hear, like,
I see
the water
that
in the background. It's like on a boat or something.
I think that's 100% what it is, and I'm going to agree. So we're saying not porn for this one.
Not porn.
Okay, we are saying not porn. Answers, please. This is not porn.
Yes.
This is taken from an episode of Brave Wilderness where the host, Coyote Peterson, willingly lets himself be pinched by various lobsters.
I told you!
You've got it
crab,
spot on.
Almost.
Literally.
I'm such an expert.
Spot on. I'm
straight
so impressed. I've seen some of these videos before where they get like stung by like the world's most poisonous things and then they just like... roll around in pain while they get filmed and stuff. I'm like, why are you doing this?
Straight, I told you. Yeah,
this is what like, this is the straight agenda. If you went to straight pride, it would just be that.
Yeah. Great, lovely.
Should we do a next one?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
And it's dripping pussy juice all over my floor.
I was not ready for that word.
Wow.
This is NSFW. I'm sorry.
Wow. That was...
Yeah, I can't relate.
That can't be porn. That's too obvious. Like...
Yeah, I feel like... It's too obvious.
I'm going to play it again. Brace yourself for the word.
And it's dripping pussy juice all over my floor.
Actually,
he's saying it's. So he's talking about some kind of animal, I think.
I don't think you would talk about a woman like that.
And I don't know why the animal would be dripping that juice. I don't like that word either. It's not a word.
Oh, is it like octopusy juice?
Ah!
Maybe it's octopus. If I'm right on this one, I want some money. I'm sorry. I'm being really good at this.
We don't have cash prizes.
You'll find
here
some cash. You're going to find some today, Callum.
I've got £10 in my wallet. You can have that.
£10.
Hustle me down. I think we're in agreement. This is not porn.
Not
this is
porn,
some kind of octopus situation.
I bet, yeah.
Yeah, final answer. This is not porn. This is taken from YouTuber Noodle King's video showing us how to prepare and cook a giant octopus.
Fuck off! I'm so good! Oh my God, where is my money?
I've got £10 for you at the end of the show.
Oh my God.
You do really good at this.
I'm really good at this. I love porn and lobsters.
All right, I'm going to be really impressed if you can get 5 out of 5
here. I
will,
absolutely.
Okay, next one.
So basically you want to call off the wedding the day before we're supposed to get married because you think you're in love with some sea creature?
It's porn. It's 100% porn.
I think it's some kind of like...
Tacky
porno fantasy where it's like a merman or some like octopus lady.
Yeah, for sure. It's like, I love those bad porns where it's like, is the thing with the salad, is that the meme? You know, it's like, next to my salad, really, guys?
Yeah, it's very
that. It's like scripted. Like, I love a good script in porn. Like,
me too. And people say like, it's off-putting, it's like not sexy. And like, yeah, I get that. But actually, like, I when I see bad acting, I'm like, I'm ready for a good time. It's I mean, I know why I'm here.
Why is EastEnders still on TV? Like, clearly for a reason.
Exactly that. Should we just say porn? I think we're in agreement. This is porn. Absolutely porn, 100%. And the answer is very. The answer is on its way. It's coming. It's almost here. Coming, I promise. Here we go. It is porn.
Yay.
Taken from Fishy Threesome. Oh, doesn't sound pleasant, does it?
Horrible.
This stars one human male, one human female, and a female aquatic creature. Can I just clarify that this is like a person pretending to be a female aquatic creature? Yes, I'm getting nods. It is. It's not actually like there's not a bestiality situation because we don't want that.
We don't want the police coming.
Maybe
that could be taking our porn, Callum. I love it.
Or I do like a man in uniform.
Oh, me too.
Yeah. I'm all about that. Well, that's 3 out of 3, and also got the scenario right again.
Yay! Are we doing 5?
We've got 5.
Okay. We've got 5. I'm a bit nervous now. I really want to keep up my.
Don't let the side. Down. No. Don't let it slide down. Okay, here we go. Next one. I feel like this is some like ASMR YouTube.
I was gonna
thing.
Say that as well, yeah.
And I think it's I don't know what it would be like. ASMR eating lobster.
Well,
or...
I've seen that. I've seen like a woman eating like a giant crayfish, whatever it's called. And it's crayfish, the biggest thing I've ever seen in my life. It looked like the size of a good 7-year-old child, and she was eating it like it was nothing.
Why were you watching this video?
It's on Instagram on my explore page.
Okay, fair. Yeah, I get some weird stuff in my explore page.
I don't know why. I do like I listen to ASMR before I go to bed every night. I leave
do
it on.
You?
Yeah, I like makeup ones. I don't know why.
Oh, that's really lovely.
Yeah,
like I don't. Get the tingly thing it's supposed to give you.
Oh, I don't get the tingly thing.
But I do think it's lovely.
I just feel very alone and scared of the dark. Unless I have a boy next to me, I'm listening to ASMR to go better.
I love it. Let's hear it again. Would this put you to sleep?
No.
I don't think you like this.
No, that's not porn.
No, it's not. No. I agree. It's not porn. It's some kind of ASMR. Like, it's either like some kind of ASMR fish thing or like somebody eating seafood, I think.
Yeah, it sounds like eating.
There's something like squidgy going on.
Yeah. Oh, I don't want to know.
We are saying not porn. And the answer is not porn.
Wow, I love being
This is taken from a YouTube video where a woman eats coconut jelly shaped like an octopus.
Okay.
I would say, yeah, well done us.
Yeah, we're doing really good. Really if we good. Don't get this next one, I'm going to be so angry.
We're 4 for 4, so I think we've got this. Okay, last one.
Once a man falls in love with a mermaid, it is a love that cannot be broken.
That has to be porn.
I think it sounds like bad porn again.
What did he say? When a man
loves a mermaid, a bond like that can't be broken. Is it that?
Yeah, like why?
Once a man falls in love with a mermaid, it is a love that cannot be broken.
Yeah, that's not a sentence that normal people would say. In the real world, people don't say sentences like that.
Yeah, I hope not. I feel like this might be a surprise and it might not be porn.
It's
like a trick question from the producer or something.
I think statistically, we've only had one porn so far.
Oh, true, yeah.
So
okay,
I feel like based on numbers alone.
Okay, well, if we get it wrong, it's your fault.
No, okay, I will take responsibility. Okay. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay, we are saying that the final one is porn. And it is porn!
Yes!
5 out of 5!
Oh my god, do I get a certificate?
You get a certificate and £10 note.
Yay!
Congratulations.
Oh my god,
well
this
done.
Was so fun.
I'm so impressed though that you managed to figure out not just whether they were porn or not porn, but exactly what they were.
I have good ears.
Tremendous ears.
I actually have really big ears when I was a child. My mum used to make me sleep on my ears so that they'd like press into my head and not stick out so much.
Oh wow.
So I legit do have big ears. Not anymore, I hope I've grown into them.
Do you want to hear what this porno was?
Like, not really, but okay.
I'm going to tell you anyway.
Okay, thanks.
So this was taken from The Little Spearmaid. Spermaid? Spermaid? Spermaid! That is gross.
Disgusting.
The producers look so happy with themselves.
Oh my god.
Vile producers. Okay, so this is taken from The Little Spermaid. Jesus Christ. Eric Prince has fallen out of love with his fiancée. After almost drowning in the ocean, he is rescued by Princess Areola, a mermaid. Isn't an areola the a breast?
A play on like aerial.
A nipple. I hate this. I think it's the worst thing I've ever heard.
Straight culture. This is disgusting.
Oh, the straights absolutely must be stopped.
I technically class as a straight now, and I'm
well. You need to be stopped. You need to be stopped.
I want to become a lesbian after hearing this.
I think that was a lot. I think we need a little break. I think we need a little breather. Let's have a little bit more music. This is A Little Bit of Yours by Grace and Chance.
That you last said to me. Hear your emotion, and how everything to you is uneasy. Oh. All these hours between us, they mean nothing. I'll be back to you one day. One day. And all these miles between us, they mean nothing. We're okay now. Twin calls, always my nature. I'm a little bit high, calling to tell you I'm yours. I'm yours. Remember that night out of my car when I told you there wouldn't be no scars. Still yours, still yours. No matter who I'm with, it's you that I adore. If you're not sure, baby, I'm yours. Even the way you make me feel, I want you more. If you're not sure, baby, I'm yours. I'm hoping that you'll hear me when I say I need you around. Cause life's so busy, babe. You keep me up, I'm never coming down. Oh yeah, hey. All these sounds between us, they mean nothing. I'll be back to you one day. One day. And all these roads between us, they mean nothing. Oh, I promise we're okay. We're okay. Seeing dream calls, what's my nature? I'm a little bit high, calling to tell you I'm yours. I'm yours.
Radio presents
Ian Boltsworth.
Douglas Booth's coming in. Didn't you play Boy George?
He's great. I have nothing but love for him. He's always extremely generous to me in that whole process. Only have good things to say.
Can you make some art?
Yeah.
I don't like that he kills cats under cover of darkness. He's the famous Clapham cat killer.
The Clapham cat killer.
Wasn't there that real thing where cats were being mutilated and then they realised it was actually just one row of
and
fox?
And it was Boy George.
Yeah, and they realised it was Boy George. Yeah.
Every Monday.
Ian Boltsworth.
From 2 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
Callum McSwiggan. On FUBAR Radio.
We had a lot of silly fun there, I feel. I feel like we need to calm things down a little bit. I want to talk about some other kind of... inequalities that trans people face.
Okay.
Because when we were talking about your book, for instance, yeah. with all those trans voices, I think the really interesting thing about that is that, you know, people kind of go through their lives and they don't realize the nuances around being trans and all the different yeah. Things that would entail, you know, whether it's transitioning, whether it's emotional stuff, physical stuff. And I think one thing that we don't talk about enough is kind of medical inequalities yeah. that trans people face.
Yeah.
And now I don't know how much you know about this, but I know that one issue that the trans community faces a lot is that because of kind of the way that our country recognizes gender, etc. So if you yeah. if you are a trans woman,
yeah.
you know, you could be hit with like pregnancy leaflets and things like that.
Oh,
where,
yeah,
where,
yeah.
Where exactly? So, yeah. so you are hit by things like
not
that.
Pregnancy leaflets, but I had a text on my 25th birthday about cervical screening.
Yes,
and I was like, oh honey, it's really good that they send them out, but not for me, baby.
Yeah, but I think it also works the other way.
Of course,
so like trans men, for instance. May need things like that.
Of course,
and they
yeah.
aren't necessarily hit like things like that. So
yeah.
I know that Public Health England just launched its first campaign to tackle the decline in the number of cervical screening tests.
Yeah.
And one of the things they're trying to tackle is, you know, getting people
yeah.
to, you know, go and get tested if it's relevant for them.
Yeah.
Et cetera. And I just think it's really important that we kind of open up those conversations a little bit more, because if yep. I was a young trans person growing up, for instance,
yeah.
I would be going into a world where I wouldn't know,
yeah.
you know, what I need. And it must have been like that for you,
of course,
I guess.
Yeah, I do think this is really important. I think the way it is just to be real, and this isn't me slagging off NHS, I love NHS.
Yeah.
No, just to be real. But like, there's a lot of transphobia and yeah. homophobia in the NHS. Like, I know, even this is trans aside, like, I've got LGBT friends, so like LGB friends, who will be like, I just don't feel comfortable talking to my GP about it. Like, they ask really offensive, like, to my lesbian friends about like sex and stuff, and like about never being penetrated, like things like that, like really like just messy. And because they're like, so that's why a lot of trans people don't really have much faith, and also like much like comfort in going to a GP. like, some, again, not dragging the straights, but like some straight man who has absolutely no clue about women's stuff, never mind trans stuff on top of that, you know, like, there's a lot of stigmas. And yeah, just I can understand why trans people don't feel safe going. I don't really, like, so when I initially came out as trans and wanted to begin the transition process, I had to see 3 GPs before I found one who literally treated me like a human enough to do their job, to
yeah,
literally not
yeah.
break the law. The other two broke the law. They said they were transphobic and were like, you'll never be a woman, please leave. Like, you can't do
they
that.
They said that
they
to
They said
you.
That in a couple of years. It's not even long ago, like a few years now. This is England. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is happening in London, in England, in 2000, what that was like, maybe like 2016, 15 or something. It's like madness. And so, like, I understand why they don't, but you really do have to take the initiative and just, like, do it for yourself. And I will say this, so, like, if you don't feel comfortable going to a GP, what I do now is go to Clinic U, which
yes.
is part of 50 16th Street, which is in Soho, which is free to go to. And yeah, and on a Wednesday, there's a trans day. So like, I think it's from 4 p.m. ish onwards. You can come and you can kind of be seen for anything. You can be seen for hormonal stuff, like blood tests or even STD stuff. But like, I even go for, so I had a cancer like scare, and mm-hmm. I have obviously, I don't want to go into it too much, but obviously I don't have I don't even cervix. That was called. So I was going for a different type
of
cancer,
yeah.
and obviously not going to spell it out. But basically,
yeah.
I was like, "Oh crap, I found a lump." So I was like, "I'm going to go there because I'm not going to feel comfortable going to my straight GP who told me that I'm never going to be a woman and turned me
yeah,
away."
Of
so
course.
Obviously, I went to Clinic U, and they were amazing. And like, saw me straight away, and I'm seen by people who get my pronouns right, even if I'm coming without makeup on and look a bit messy, and maybe other people would misgender me, they always gender me correctly. I'm in a waiting room full of people who accept me. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a really important service, and I think every trans person should know about that. So like, even if, obviously that is in London, I don't know if there are other kind of similar things going around the UK, but even if they're not, it might be worth even just getting a ticket, a coach down to London to get that test done here, because they'll see you through this and then they'll refer you through this, rather than having to have a really uncomfortable
yeah.
experience. Even if that works, is that 20 quid for a coach max? I don't know, maybe a bit more, but it's worth it to like have a comfortable experience rather than an experience that scars you and makes you not want to go back again. So I really would rate what the work that Clinique U do is so important.
Absolutely,
I
just want to echo that sentiment as well. You know, I've done some work with Clinique U and their team over there, people like Michelle Ross and Michelle is an absolute legend, and I just think it is incredible, and I've seen firsthand the you know how much of a difference it does make to trans people. But again, I think that's something that the almost like the general population isn't understanding.
They're thinking
you know that a trans person is, you know, and this maybe before they even come out as trans, they're going to their doctor and they're just assuming that their doctors are giving them all the information and support
you have to go as a trans person with the information to your doctor because they're not educated.
You have to bring it to them, that's insane.
You have to go and like I said, I was turned away twice, and the third time I went back with like a pile of print-offs saying, you're not going to turn me away again, this is your fucking job. Like, I didn't swear, but this is your job. All you have to do is send an email to the gender clinic to refer me. I don't expect you to perform a fucking gender reconstructive surgery on me right now. I don't expect you to give me a pussy right now. I don't expect hormones right now. But you will do your job. Treat me like a fucking human. I pay my taxes and you will send me to the gender clinic. And that's what you have to do. And it's bullshit that I had to fucking bring a fucking pile of printouts to fucking be treated like a human. And even with since then, with things like getting my passport signed off to be filmed, it's literally in black and white saying, this is the law, you have to do it. And they will still try and be like, I'm not sure, I'm sorry, no, I'm not going to do that. Like, no, what? Like,
yeah,
so I totally understand why trans people don't feel safe, but you need to, because your life is, it's your life. If you, we're talking about cancer now, like, what if you're not going to get checked because you don't feel comfortable, what, then you're going to die? Like, if you get cancer, do you know what I mean? Like, that sounds very mean, girls, like, you'll get chlamydia and you'll die. But like, do you know what I'm saying? You need to take it on yourself to like, go to someone like Clinique U or to a place like that. Or there's even like spreadsheets online. I don't know exactly where, but I've seen on forums of people sharing spreadsheets of trans-friendly GPs around London, but I'm sure there's one for the UK as well, because it's a real thing that it's like a postcode lottery, and it depends where you live, that where who's got nice GPs who will see you and stuff and treat you like a fucking human. But like, it's sad that it's the way it is, but like, look out for things like that. Like, I know like there's Reddit is really good for the trans community to kind of congregate and talk about these things. I'm trying to think what else. There's a lot of forums online. If you Google it, you'll find it.
It really is outrageous that, you know, that happened to you, but like,
and to so many, not just to me.
So many.
There was an inquiry in 2015 into it, and they found out that it's happening so much, and they're literally breaking the law. Like, it's bullshit.
I mean, you know, when you said that just then, I sounded shocked, and it is shocking to hear.
I was shocked.
But it is a story that I've heard time and time again.
Yeah.
And I know that statistically, I don't have these facts in front of me, so forgive me if I get this wrong, but I believe statistically, like, trans women, lesbian women, etc., are far less likely to go to their GP and get the support that they need.
Yeah.
And it's because of those kind of reasons. There is totally kind of these inequalities when it comes to being trans, being gay, being lesbian, being, you know, whatever.
Anything. Just not being the norm is essentially what we're saying. And I totally understand. It's not even just about sexuality. It's the same for, I'm sure, women of colour, women of certain religions, women of certain sizes even. Like, going to a GP and, like, being treated in a way that is not nice is really like damaging, and really like makes, I don't go to GP unless I'm like on death's door, because I'm like, I don't want to have to go through that.
Yeah.
And so I pretty much exclusively use Clinique U now, so it's amazing.
I'm being told by my lovely producers that lesbian and bisexual women are 10 times less likely to get a cervical screening.
Wow.
So, you know, everything you've just said, I know I'm talking about lesbian and bisexual women here, but you know, trans people, you know, if you do need help and need support, get to Clinique U if you can. I know they are just London based, aren't they?
Yeah, Clinique U is. But even like, so like I said, I'm sure there are like other clinics that do it around
where
the
you
UK,
can go,
which are like LGBT focused. Because even like, it's not just Clinique U, there's like 5016 Street, which is like LGBT generally, or even people who aren't, but do you know what I'm saying? But even if not, like I said, I really do think it would, like, if I was someone living, I don't know, say I lived in Nottingham, and I had something, if I had a lump that I had and I needed to get checked, I'd just be like, do you know what, I'll get a coach down or a train or whatever, or a drive or whatever. But like, I think it's worth the money to like have the comfort of seeing someone who's going to treat me like a human, which is really sad that you have to feel that you're not going to be treated like a human, but it's the way it is. And like, I just think it's worth it. So like, if you feel like there aren't any in your local city or town or whatever, come down to London, come to Clinique U. It's like central London. It's not that hard to get to. And then, like I said, you'll be referred through them. So at least, like, that's the hard part done.
Yeah.
Through them. It's worth the money.
Even if
it's 20 quid, it's not that much.
It's amazing to hear. And thank you for sharing all of that, because I didn't know any of that about your background. So
it's
I think it's really, I was going to say it's great to hear. It's not great to hear, but it's really important to hear that. So, thank you for sharing that.
No, all Callum.
I think we should have a little bit more fun.
Okay.
You know, we do it serious and then we do the
fun.
Back and forth. We are going to be reacting to our lovely listeners' sex confessions very shortly.
Oh, God. So
if you are listening and you do have something that you want to confess, or if you have a secret or a question you'd want to ask about sex and relationships, then you can email us anonymously at callum@foobarradio.com, and we'll be reacting to those after a little bit of music from Kesos. This is Happily Ever After.
Refuse to believe you don't want me. It saves me, but it kills me inside. 'Cause hope is deadly when the situation's hopeless, but I've accepted denial. It's fucked up, but you're my motivation. We'll grow up and then you'll see what you're missing. You'll come home and then you'll look at me the way you used to, the way I want you. Whoa. I killed myself for you, you killed yourself for me. Now that we realize what went wrong, can we move on happily? Now that we realize what went wrong, can we move on happily? Happily, yeah. Refuse to believe that this new guy you found is better than me. He's more than a fling. And the possibility that he's your new everything is haunting my dreams. Why isn't it me? It's fucked up, but you're my motive. We'll grow up and then you'll see what you're missing. You'll come home and then you'll look at me the way you used to, the way I want you. I killed myself for you, you killed yourself for me. Now that we realize what went wrong, can we move on happily? Yeah. Your negativity, my codependency. Now that we realize what went wrong, can we move on? I've gotta figure out all my shit first, and hopefully you're doing the same. Once we've had our time to recover, I wanna try this with you again. It's fucked up, but you're my motivation. We'll grow up and then you'll see what you're missing. You'll come home and then you'll look at me the way you used to, the way I want you. I killed myself for you, you killed yourself for me. Now that we realize what went wrong, can we move on happily? Yeah, your negativity, my codependency. Now that we realize what went wrong, can we move on happily?
Are you ready for some sex confessions?
I love sex confessions.
Me too. Thank you so much to everyone who has sent these in. Would you like to read the first one for me?
I actually can't read. It's my own secret shame. Okay. Can you imagine? I've been in a relationship for a month and I feel like he's ready to have sex, but I'm not. He's recently bragged about all these past lovers he's had. I'm a bit intimidated, to be honest. How shall I combat this?
Oh, combat's a strong word. This doesn't have to be a battle. It doesn't have to be a fight.
I mean, it probably should be if he's bragging about all his past lovers. How rude.
Yeah, I feel like... I don't mean to make assumptions, but I feel like this person may be a virgin. The way that they're speaking makes it sound like perhaps they've not had sex before. Yeah. Or maybe they have and you know, it's a new relationship and they're not ready for that yet. But I think this is one of these issues, you know, sex is something that is to be shared between two people and it requires two-party consent. And when it comes to consent, that's not just about saying yes, it's about actually wanting to do it and wanting to be ready for it. And I think it's something that happens a lot where people feel very, very pressured into, you know, having sexual encounters when they don't want to or they're not ready. Yeah. And you should never, ever feel that way.
Of course.
So absolutely, like when you say, how shall I combat this? Yeah, you absolutely need to stand up for yourself.
Yeah.
And I feel like you're ready for a fight on this, Charlie.
Always. I hate these sorts of boys, assuming it is a boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said he.
And yeah. I agree. Like the whole like, oh, bragging about like all the sex I've had with all these people.
It's okay to do that with your friends, but not with someone you're trying to get in bed, dumb brain. Like,
yeah.
Are you serious?
Are you
really
an idiot?
Think that's the way to get someone in bed? Like, yeah, I've had sex with all these other people. Look, it's like, that's not very romantic, and that's
absolutely.
That's not going to make me like you
yeah.
at all. Like, it might impress some people, but I don't think it would, to be honest, impress many people. I think it's very rude, actually. If anything, it's kind of obvious. It's fine to have sex with loads of people. That's not the point. But my point is you don't say that to the person you're trying to sleep with.
Especially if you're kind of suggesting that maybe you want to take it slow and maybe you're not ready
yet.
It's a little bit much. So I think you need to have a conversation. How combative you are about this conversation, I feel like Charlie and I might disagree on. I think take it gently and
we don't even have the conversation. I'm sorry, but I'm sort of girl like, bitch, I'm not even having that conversation. Bite blocked. Like, if you're the sort of boy who's gonna, when you're trying to win me over, be bragging about, literally he used the word bragging about how many lovers he's had, okay then bye, I'm not the one for you, sis. Like, I'll move on to the next one. Like, I need to, if he's acting like this now before he's had you, imagine how he's gonna be acting when he's had you. Just to be real, it's only going downhill. You're not wrong.
So Charlie's advice is
dump him. Ghost him. Have sex with his dad instead.
That's good advice.
Yeah, I love it.
See if his father is available. Is the advice that we're giving on FUBAR Radio today? do what you wish with that information. Would you like to read all of these? I just feel like you're having a great time.
Read
the next confession for me.
I'm a guy, but I've always felt very feminine compared to other boys growing up. Not sure what this feeling means.
Well, we can't answer that because, you know, that's your feelings.
Yeah,
that's something
course.
You have to navigate yourself. But I feel like, you know, that could be any number of things. It's fine to be a guy and it's fine to be feminine. That doesn't mean that you're necessarily gay.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean you're necessarily non-binary or trans,
of
but those
course,
are definitely
yeah.
options. I think, for a start, there's nothing wrong with you. I just want to make that absolutely clear. You know, those feelings are completely normal. What those feelings mean, however, is something that I think you would need to explore yourself.
I totally agree. I think it's not that deep. I always say, like, it's not that deep. Don't stress. Just go with the flow. Like, grow up. Like, sounds like you might be quite young as well from reading this. Like, I think just take time. Like, just like find who you are. You're not. What's that saying? It's like you don't. You're not born who you are, you become who, what is it about, like, learning who you are and like becoming who you are, like, just like don't stress, don't,
just go with it,
yeah, just go with it. If you do realize at some point there's like that you're trans or that you're gay or that you're whatever, like, then deal with that then. But like, there's no stress. You don't need to put a label on everything. If labels are great for people who want labels. I personally do like labels. I like to be able to say I am a trans woman. But like, if labels aren't for you, you don't need a label. Like, just enjoy your life. Like who you want, don't like who you don't want, like what music you want, like what clothes you want. It's not that deep. Just like what you want. It's not that deep.
I really like that. That's really, really lovely. I like what you said about labels as well. You know, labels are supposed to be a tool that we use. They're not supposed to be something that confines us, and we don't have to put ourselves into a box if we're not ready or don't ever want to. You don't ever have to label
labels
yourself.
Labels are there if you want them. Just like in your kitchen cupboard to label like something in a Tupperware box. Only use it if you want to. You don't have to use labels. Like, just put your stuff in a Tupperware box.
I love that. I remember having not a crisis, but I remember in my early 20s, I had a little bit of confusion because I've always had this thing about really not liking kind of hyper masculine clothing, like things like suits and things. I just really don't like putting them on. And
when
I put them on, it doesn't feel right to me.
Yeah.
And I remember having this feeling like, oh, does this mean I'm non-binary or trans? And I was really trying to just like grasp around for like, what does this mean? Like you said, it's not that deep.
Yeah.
I just don't like suits.
It's not that deep.
But I think it's easy to kind of stray and go, oh, there must be something wrong with me.
I mean, it can be that deep because I didn't like suits and it was because I was trans.
And it was because
so,
you're
I mean,
trans,
it can be that deep. I'm just saying like, don't stress. Just take your time.
Yeah.
Like, just like figure it out along the way, like Lizzie McGuire says, and you'll figure it out, and then you'll know if you're trans or gay or what, and then you can do it then. Like, you can transition then, or have sex with a man then, or love a man then. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, there's no, like, you don't need to do anything. There's no deadline or expiry date or like urgent thing. Like, just take it easy.
You're so good at this.
I think that's
like a wise owl over there.
It's cliff notes, as the girl says.
I love it. Do you want to read the next one?
Okay. Love sex on the beach. It's cliche, but do all of it go.
Sure.
Oh, sorry, I sent that one in.
Oh,
no,
did you?
No, I didn't.
It's great. I just... The sand. I've tried having it... The sand dries things out and makes things difficult.
And also would be like intense exfoliation.
It's a lot. It's a lot. So if you are going to have sex on the beach, which, you know, do it, great. You know, you can even go to like nude beaches and things where it's allowed, where you're legally allowed to have sex on the beach, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
But bring lube is my honest advice.
I mean,
honest
bring lube,
advice.
Period. Like, that should be your...
Just always have lube with you.
I've got a whole bottle in my handbag right now. But no, I don't. But just always have lube. Like, who doesn't have lube?
Because you never know when that, you know, surprise encounter is going to happen.
Yeah,
you need to have that lube on hand. And that goes that goes for everyone.
Yeah, even straight people. Like,
even straight people.
There's a new campaign with, I think, Durex to make lube just more, like, normal. Like,
because
really
there's this massive stigma around, like, women who can't get wet for whatever reason. You know, and they feel ashamed and, like, something wrong with them. And
again, it's not that deep.
Just lube up is the advice. Okay, we have time for one more. Charlie, take it away.
Went on two dates last week and my friends are so jealous. I'm new to dating after being in a relationship for years. Feeling good.
Just fuck your friends. Good. That's great.
Like, I mean, if your friends are jealous, it's probably a good sign, like that you're doing something right.
Like, this doesn't seem like an issue to me. This sounds like you're having a great time, and the fact that your friends are jealous means that you're doing something right. So
I agree. Keep going on those dates.
Absolutely good for you. We can only offer you our deepest support. I'm jealous.
I'm jealous as well.
I want to be... I wish I was dating someone. It would be great, wouldn't it?
Me too.
Yeah.
Should we date each other?
Okay.
We could be a real cute LGBT power couple.
People would not be ready for us.
No.
Powerhouse
pets,
up in here.
Ass, lobsters.
We've got the whole equipment happening. Well, that was amazing. This actually brings us on to the end of our show.
Oh.
But I am going to, of course, give you a chance to like plug all your things again. Like, plug your nails.
Oh, I love plugging.
Take it away. Tell us everything.
I'll give you the list. Plug one. It's at Charlie Craggs on @Charlie_Craggs on Instagram. Plug number two.
Wait. Can I just say that your Instagram is amazing? The pictures you have
on there.
Thank
you, Callum.
Like, I was trying to choose one earlier to share to promote this evening's show, and I was like, I don't know which one to pick. They're just fire. Just a lot of fire happening. It's great.
Can I have that in writing?
Yeah,
I'll
write
CV.
Down for you.
Yeah,
I'll write it down for you.
Plug number two to my trans sisters. Go get it. Actually, you know what's really interesting is most of the reviews are from people who aren't trans saying that they bought it to really help them understand the trans community a bit better, which is really nice.
Amazing.
So you don't have to be trans to buy it.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. I'm going to get a copy.
I'll send you a copy.
Thank you. I'd love that.
And then plug number three is my nail brand, Nail It, which is at Nail It Official on Instagram. And we've got a petition up at the moment with the lobster stuff to get the trans emoji onto the phones. Like, so we're petitioning again this year.
To get the... To the trans flag.
So using the lobster, you know, the whole lobster campaign, the hijacking.
Yeah.
So it's all to get a trans flag, essentially, because we haven't got a trans symbol. So, so we've got a petition for that, which is in a link in my bio on Instagram.
Amazing. And that's on your personal bio, not the
and
bio.
And the Nail It one as well. It's everywhere, basically.
Amazing.
Yay.
Well, I just thank you for all the work you're doing.
Thank you for having me, Callum.
Thank you for coming on the show. It's been great. It's been a lot of fun. And you don't tell the other guests I said this, but you're one of my favorite guests ever.
Yay! Can I have that in writing as
well? Yeah, I'll write it all down for you.
Yay!
All right, I'm going to play you out with a little bit of Somebody Like You by Sorrow.
Crystalline, feel it when our souls align, hope it never ends. Storylines, twisting, turning through the night, blowing in the wind. Like
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.